Welcome to Inside Out, The Naked Truth, where we explore everyday issues to discover their core truth so that we may understand them, open our hearts, add a little more fun to our lives, and see it all from another perspective.
Tonight's show is coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of Northern California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I'm Errol Alicia Strider.
He just doesn't know who he is. It's a problem.
Oh, right. And together we will explore these truths with a little humor and some conversation, some poetry, music, and your comments, which you can make by calling in at 888-627-6008.
That is 888-627-6008. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Now you're thoroughly confused.
Well, okay. Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% natural, organic, raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
And which you can get at Whole Foods and Costco and Trader Joe's, or go to their website, www.gorawproducts.com. And we'd like to welcome you tonight. Tonight is a very special night. Because you know what's going to happen tonight?
We're going to be here.
We're here, and we're going to get in the flow. Let me tell you, this is a night all about getting in the flow, which we would make a distinction between that and the resistance.
Oh, yeah.
There's
God.
The flow, and then there's the resistance to mm-hmm. the flow.
Exactly. I mean, you probably heard the phrase, you know, which is not the phrase. It's you can't push the river. Actually, it says don't try and push the river or something like that. But you can for a moment. You can dam it all up. And then what happens when you let it go, suddenly there's a flood. When we leave the river alone, it moves. It gets to where it is going, moving into the sea, combining with all the waters of the world, flowing, merging, becoming more. If I am 50 to 60% water, one would think my very essence demands that I flow, not curse the narrow channels, the logs, the boats, the people, the fish, the vegetation and rocks that are part of me. Just flow around, above, and with them. I'm learning. I have resisted my own nature, and now I do my best to flow with it. I am who I am now. To the eyes of the beholder, I may appear differently than I do from behind my own eyes. Well, sometimes I drop the ball, and sometimes I catch it. I think of all the turns I've taken in my life that have led to this moment, this place. For me, the struggle seems to be around leaving the places, friends, moments that I love, but I continue to give myself to the current. Even if it's filled with sadness, sometimes grief. And then I move, forever expanding my consciousness.
Child, I will always be.
That flowed.
That's one of the things I most appreciate about our program, is that there's a fair amount of it that is spontaneous, and then there's things that we kind of pick and plan in advance, like the songs.
But we don't plan where they're played.
That's right. Because one night we played it in Cincinnati.
No, they come out of our conversation.
Oh, right.
They flow out of our conversation.
And it's very satisfying, I guess, as an artist, as a person, when things flow together. So like one thing leaves off and the other thing just picks up and it carries on that thread. And it just moves and it does flow like a river. And it's very, well, juicy.
It is juicy. What was the name of that song you just played?
The River Is Flowing, and I'll get you the artist in a bit. The River Is flowing. So then there's the opposite of going with the river. There's pushing the river. There's resistance. And so much of life is resistance. And our attempt to deal with the resistance, things that cause us pain, frustration, suffering, that trigger the
things
I don't
like
it.
Like.
Yeah, trigger the I don't like that, and I don't want to flow, and I'm not flowing, and there's nothing to flow in it. And if you think it's about flowing, then you got something not flowing from your bottom.
God, Errol, that was gross.
That wasn't me.
That was gross.
That was not
that was
me.
Gross. Oh yeah, right.
That
it
was
wasn't
this
you.
Character that said right. that. I would never say that on public television. Dear, you know
except
me.
We're not on public television. We're on public radio.
We're on private radio.
Well, you know, I wrote this little story a long time ago, and the reason I say a long time ago is because I can't find the actual story.
You can't remember the story.
But
that's
I
how you
remember
know.
The story. Oh. I do remember the story. I'd like to tell it. It's just once upon a time, there was this little twig who fell from a tree into a stream of water. He hit the water and the little twig said, "Oh, I'm no longer in a tree. I'm in water. Wow." And he flowed down the stream and got locked between two rocks. "Oh," said the little twig, "I'm stuck between two rocks. Wow." And then a current picked up and knocked the little twig from the rocks and caused him to float further down the river. And the little twig said, "Wow, I'm floating down the river." I just love that. And the little twig, he was just totally in the flow.
Well, let's find out a little bit about what it might be like to be in the flow. I'm going to share a poem that I wrote many years ago, and before I share it, it's called There Is a Flow, and I was about to publish my first little collection of stories and poems and pieces and parables, and I had made an agreement with the printer that I would, in order to save some money, come in and actually collate the books. And this was in San Francisco. And so I went in there and I was collating the books and stamping them. They call them saddle stitch. That's what I had to do. I had to saddle stitch them, which means that you shoot, staples into the back of the book. And while I was in the middle of that process, all of a sudden I started getting this poem, these images, this metaphor, which is called There Is a Flow. And here it is. Thank you.
There is a flow. It meanders for a while, seems aimless till you're in it. Curving round impenetrable bends, slithers in valleys, searching for outlets. Cast off! Keep her steady! Careful, no! Leave go the lines! Subconnections for our flow. Intertwined connectors wrapped in cords of purposeful directions. Rotating, and the paddle wheel churns upstream, downstream. It coasts and waits.
Ease into the current, lads. She's a bit choppy, eh? Never you mind. You want to get apart, do you not?
At one moment it draws. Another pulls, lures, and yearns. Often it beckons.
Quiet on downstream there. Hush. Keep alive, lads. Listen for the drift. I hear a ripple. Ah, do you know? Where?
Listen. Only the tension. It's looking for a home, a circuit to connect the flow.
Ah, she's alive and brisk and grand. See how she moves, a real lady.
It bends and gallops and sometimes nuzzles up to you, but so tender. You don't know it's there till you let go and fall in stride. The flowing live tension, solid and invisible, in motion, contactable whispers. Yes. Reiterates. Yes, yes, yes. It's here. Ride in style. Contact. In circuit. Plug in. It bends.
Steer to the leeward! We're catching up! Pull in! Pull in!
But she's hard to harness.
You cannot harness her. She rides free. You must move with her, lads.
It beckons the flow. Like a wind without a sail wanders, seemingly aimless. Moving leaves, grass ripples. Birds duck her strong hands, but one sail is hoisted, and she's fulfilled. Somewhere to move with her.
She's a woman satisfied, eh, lads?
Fill full, both you and she, the flow has intercourse with the soul.
Let the sail out, too much wind!
Sometimes she's hot and fast. Not a good time to tap her unless you're experienced in the flow.
Here, give me the helm,
shouts the experienced flow rider. She won't bend with you. You have to give yourself to her. Where's she coming from?
The source. Where'd you think? You'll learn, Letty. You'll learn.
Well, what do I do? Sometimes she can mystify, leaves you mouth open on deck, but palms open and she pours through fingers.
Only so much tension, I shall tear you apart if you're not careful.
There is a flow.
Well, how can I move with her? Her balmy thrust will lift you up. It's all in the will, lads, and the wanting. Just let go. She'll have you. And the richest bosom you've ever supped on, I tell ye, lads.
It's in the will that we connect. We stand female and must open our docks, and she carries us on, our sails outstretched like wings.
sense. But the flow knows where it's going, the one we want. It moves with a purpose from the source. Relax, lady, should not be got by force. Give with her. Give. She gives her power, but only to those who know the dynamics of her motion. Well, she's got a will of her own, it seems. Indeed, she is will. The will. But we don't want to go that way, nor do we, sir. Do not worry, she'll come round. Trust her. She takes you to different places before she'll take you home. That way, you'll have more stories to tell your lads. How dull if she took us where we wanted to go at our speed. She's the mother of adventure, the flow. Hold on, no, she's speeding us to port. Contact, in circuit, plug in. She'll have you, but she'll be gentle. She knows you, the flow, the will. Contact, hoist, decide, bend, stretch palms. Spread to the heart and let it flow.
There you have it.
There you have it.
There is a flow, and the music was created by Jamie Kibben. And this was way back in San Francisco, wasn't it?
I don't know.
No, it was Boulder. I don't know.
Here we are, just flowing around, not knowing where we are.
Well, that poem took me on a journey. I don't know how it affected you, but I know I still find it compelling, and I thought he did a great job with the music, and it kind of drew me into it. But some of the images stand out. But what stands out for you, Rochelle?
Well, you know, I've heard it so many, many times, and each time there's something else that jumps out at me. And it was interesting that writing, I just, as I was listening to it, I felt like I was writing it. I was actually writing the poem. The cadences of the words and the language, and I was just moving with it, and it was very soothing. There was something very soothing about it, and
yeah,
I realized,
practically put us to sleep.
No, it was a ride. I felt like I was riding the currents, and I saw birds and the way they ride the air currents.
Uh-huh.
I could just see them and the way they somehow, like, all of a sudden they catch the current. And they ride it, and it's so beautiful to watch because there's no effort. They're just moving, and they're going exactly where they want to go, and it's no effort. And I think of all the times I have traveled and seemingly gotten lost. You know, in other words, I wasn't going where I thought I was going. And the greatest adventures happened in those moments. I saw things I never would have saw because they weren't on my schedule. And I had to let go of the schedule, and then the fun began.
I wonder if that poem or just life teaches us, how do you know when you're going with the flow? And by the way, speaking of going with the flow, I need to remind everybody that we are Insight Out broadcasting from Lupin, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And you can call in at 888-627-6008. We would love to hear from you. Back to my question. How do you know when you're in the flow? Is it, for example, always easy? I don't think so. I think that's one of the points I tried to make in that poem, which was sometimes she's hot and fast, not a good time to tap her.
I didn't feel that it was about easy or not easy. It was just like if the current gets strong and a storm comes up, you still ride her. You just, she may not be easy to handle, but you still ride her. And I think that's, to me, that's being in the flow. that you're not resisting what is in front of you. You're not resisting it. And even if what it is painful, you don't resist it. You just let it be and let it teach you what it has to teach you.
And yet, and we've talked about this before, but I think it's worth bringing up again, there is a need for resistance. In fact, much of the finite and its ability to exist as such is based upon resistance. This thing resisting tumbling into that thing. While there is gravity pulling it in, there's this pull away, and together it forms enough resistance to sustain itself as an existent thing.
See, I think of it as tension and not resistance.
Tension.
You know, there's a tension takes place, you know, when something comes together and you can feel the tension between it, even if you hold your hands together, but just far enough apart to feel the energy between them, and you start moving them back and forth, you can feel that it's a tension. It's not a resistance so much as it is a tension, and that tension can be used for healing.
It reminds me of a book that I read many years ago by Robert Fritz. It's a masterful understanding of the creative process and how it works. But he talks about two different kinds of tension, one of which will serve us and the other won't. And there's emotional tension, and then there's essentially creative tension, where you have an intention toward something that you want. What was that image we got the other way? An intention and pay attention.
Have an intention and pay attention. So they're all about tension.
Exactly.
Attention.
But there's this creative tension that Robert Fritz talks about in his book, and it's your focus. And somehow holding that tension and staying clear on focus with what you want, where you're headed, somehow draws the means to bring those two parts together, who you are and where you are at this moment, and what you want and what you hope to realize. And it's holding that attention that it's almost like you're squeezing the solution out of the amorphous universe, and you're squeezing it into some tangible, recognizable energy form. And by essentially the force of your will and holding that intention and paying attention, because you don't know how it will show up.
Talk about tension. Intention, attention.
Exactly.
You seem flummoxed.
Well, I'm sitting here just wondering about that. Let me back up. I think what's happening is it's about being in movement. We are in movement. We're moving along this trail. We're blazing a new trail, if you will.
Look out in the world, you come. And then some, pioneers of maximum audacity, whose resumes show that we are just the team to live where others merely dream, building up a head of steam on the trail we blaze. Changing legend into fact, we shall ride into history. Turn myth into truth, we shall surely gaze on the sweet unfolding of an antique mystery. All will be revealed on the trail we blaze. Paradise is close at hand. Shangri-La, the promised land.
heaven on demand. Quite unusual nowadays. Virgin vistas undefiled. Minds and bodies running wild. In the man behold a child. On the trail we blaze. We believe is a road uncharted. Terra incognita to a golden shrine. No place for the traveler to be faint-hearted. We are part of the sumptuous grand design.
Who was that?
Elton John.
That was Elton John. Oh,
I love this image that he shared, the sumptuous grand design. Makes you want to sit down and have a meal.
Well, it is a meal.
It is a meal. Yeshua used the metaphor of a feast a lot in his teachings, in that wonderful parable about the man who prepared a feast and invited all his friends and associates, and nobody was interested in the feast. And so he went out into the streets and then invited the beggars and the people who might have been destitute and needy. And indeed, they came to the feast. And of course, the metaphor of that is, again, many are called, but few choose to call back.
Well, maybe they don't know your number.
Well, let's give
call. What is that thing that you have on your phones that tell you the number of the person who called?
Yeah, well, let's give
them
the
number. They have old phones.
In case you run into them, it's 888-627-6008. That's the number you can call in and join us in this conversation. We're talking about the flow and the tension in the flow. Rochelle sees it as tension. I'm not uncomfortable with the word resistance because I think of a resistor in electronics. And while I don't pretend to know how it works, I know it's important.
Well, one of the things I'm aware of is that we are important to the whole, to the flow. It's like, despite everything, despite what looks like chaos on this planet, there is a flow to it all. I mean, we're all flowing because we're all moving towards this greater sea. And the water is just, it gets churned up and it, you know, it gets, the wind can come up and the water's, you know, heavy waves buffet the shores, and so to speak.
I'm imagining some person being thrown from wall to wall and up and down in an old sailing boat of the 1700s or whatever, and they had no air conditioning.
Ugh, that was the worst.
Yeah.
Remember that little sailboat that we, it wasn't a sailboat, it was a boat that we went on.
Not a sailboat, but a boat.
I can't remember where it was. It was, I think it was the harbor in San Francisco. I'm not sure. But it was an old boat that obviously people traveled from Europe to the United States in. And it was so small and it was so close You know, remember that we went downstairs and see how they lived, and they had these hammocks. And I mean,
right.
You know, we had this idea of these huge boats like we have now, like the Princess Mary or whatever.
I don't have that idea when I think of the 1700 boats.
God, those boats were tiny.
Yeah.
They were on this humongous ocean.
And they had a version of indoor plumbing, not something.
Actually,
that would
the indoor plumbing had to do with overboard.
So I wonder if you, so here's a challenge, you know, here's an image that has often grabbed me with its just dark terribleness. And I'm imagining slaves coming across in the hold of a boat, laid down next to each other as the ship tosses and turns for 5 or 6 weeks or however long it took to get across the sea. And so I just use that as an extreme example of human suffering, really extreme that I can imagine. And so I wonder how you might see that from the point of view of the flow. Because it certainly wouldn't seem like, from that point of view, or any person who's really dealing with some painful circumstances, that there don't seem to be no flow in this. And the flow seems like a pie in the sky kind of flow.
It's interesting. You know, I have been certainly not in situations like that. And the oppressiveness and the fact that it goes on and it doesn't seem to end and it has no ending, and it in itself is it's like a torture that doesn't stop. And I don't know how I could bear that. I don't think of myself as an extraordinarily physically strong person. That pain does get to me. You know, I think I would give in to, I'm not a brave person in that way. If you tortured me enough, I'd tell you anything.
Well,
I'd even make it up.
We've been trying for years, nightly. She's made up more stuff.
But the only place I can be is with me in this moment and realize that I'm flowing with the fact that I couldn't handle that. And then I don't know. You know, does anybody know what they can handle until they're in it? I mean, and that in itself has a semblance of a flow to it. In the sense that there you are, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. You know, there's this, and you give yourself to it. You give yourself to the misery somehow.
Well, there is this dark side. There's the pain, and sometimes we do cry.
Sometimes we cry. Jason Crosby, everybody. But sometimes we can't see things straight. Sometimes everybody's on the make. Sometimes it's lonely, I'm lost away. Sometimes we cry, sometimes we cry. But for the pony in a jacket, and I take me away. Sometimes we cry, sometimes we cry. To do love, 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 to do love.
That was Shayna Morrison singing her dad's song, Van Morrison's song, Sometimes We Cry.
Wow.
And for me to be able to see how that's part of the flow, I have to step back and include that dark part that she sang so well about. And he wrote those great lyrics.
Yeah, you don't resist it. I mean, that is the flow.
That's part of the flow. Is I think maybe what can kind of steer you through all that stuff is to ask this question, which is something I learned from one of the lessons of A Course in Miracles. And it said to pray the following: what do I need to recognize here? That's kind of like the catch-all prayer. What do I need to recognize? Because there's clearly a lesson in it for each of us in any given moment.
I was thinking about being tortured, you know, so you brought that up and all. I couldn't get out of my mind. It's so horrible to me. And the only place I can be in the flow is the fact that it's okay for it to be horrible to me. And I think when I'm in a state of physical pain, physical discomfort to the point of it is torturous, I think our physical body, which is so dominant, takes over our mind, takes over our thoughts, takes over our emotions, and all we've got is that, you know. And I really don't know if there's if we're evolved enough as human beings to do what you just said, you know, what am I getting from this? You know, like, okay, I am, and what am I getting from this? What am I learning from this experience? I am learning that I do not like pain.
Well, I guess if there were no pain or no resistance that we run into from the universe, then we wouldn't be challenged to stretch and grow. Again, I think I've talked about this before, but the way we grow muscles, they actually break. They actually tear the muscle, and then what grows in between to resolve that tear is new muscle. And I think that's the way we grow our soul, is when we're torn apart by things that force us to change our worldview, to expand. I mean, even at the cellular level, of the level of meiosis, when we are conceived, the DNA is split in half, the double helix, which is the chromosome structure. These two parts that swirl and revolve around each other come apart in order for one of them to go out and have a swim. And swim out and find a new partner, which is going to have some of the same things linking up. They call it linkage in the chromosome structure. I don't want to get too analytical on you, but and some of them are going to link up, and they're going to have a whole different makeup than one might have thought or expected, which is why you really can't predict what the child is going to be like genetically. It's going to make it up.
It's a miracle, isn't it?
It is a miracle, yes.
And I don't think any of those chromosomes go into resistance to each other. I mean, there's an attraction that takes place for all this to happen. And that attraction, to me, is part of the flow. It's like calling itself to something, you know? And because we're so unevolved humans, you know, that you know, like we watch nature movies, you know, and you watch how a larger animal devours a smaller animal and grabs it by the neck and tosses it around and tears it apart and eats it, you know. And then we go, oh, my God, that is so horrible, you know. But if the animal didn't do that, it would starve, you know. It has to eat. And yet we, animal humans, we tear each other apart without sustenance. I mean, there's no sustenance involved other than our own egos.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, we're not tearing someone apart to eat them, to gain sustenance from our act. It truly is an act of destruction. I mean, you used to use two words that I found really interesting. You used to say, is something generative or is it degenerative? Generative meaning that it furthers, it moves forward, it expands, it opens itself up, it gains more. And degenerative is that it closes in on itself, eats itself, you know, it becomes like a cancerous cell, eats itself, others like itself, eats itself, becomes degenerative. Or degenerates. Aren't degenerates called degenerates for that very reason?
Yes, they're on the decline. Or they've been on the decline, and they're inclined to decline.
Thing is, we don't call people who do wonderful things degenerates.
No.
But we should.
We should. Hey, Rochelle, I heard about this degenerate that's hanging out downtown at the coffee shop. And, you know, he's a fabulous degenerate. And he comes from a family of degenerates. And they go back through many generations, which is why they're called degenerates.
And generous.
And generous. And we could go on forever with this silliness. But by the way, there was a lyric in there. I'm not going to fake it like Johnny Ray. So just for the fun of it, I thought we'd play just a little bit of Johnny Ray singing song Cry.
I grew up with that.
If you're
talk about a musical style that's...
Listen, Johnny Ray, I was a teenager, and he was a phenomenon. He was a phenomenon. I mean, girls fell down, cried, screamed, you know, like they did for the Beatles later on. But he was just amazing because he was so emotional. You know, he just seemed to... well, inject emotion into everybody who was within a short distance of him. And the interesting thing was he was hard of hearing, Johnny Ray, for a hearing aid. And they said a lot of his overacting maybe came from the fact that he couldn't hear very well. So a lot of people who can't hear very well think that you can't hear them.
And here Van Morrison just thought he was faking it.
Right.
When in actuality, he just couldn't hear. He was trying to compensate for not being able to hear.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he was faking it. You know, I think he was really just very exuberant. Johnny Ray. Yeah, but he might have felt that way. That's
so here
fun.
We are. Just to remind you, this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, and you can call in and join us. And we're looking at the flow. There is a flow, and what if the flow seems to hurt? And what if we find ourselves crying? The other day, I was reminded of a teaching from Yeshua, and he talks about having gratitude as a, I wouldn't say a technique, but certainly an action I can take in the midst of even the most painful of circumstances. And he says something to the effect of, even when things are so bad that you can cry, to give thanks. And somehow the gratitude opens the possibility and opportunity that the flow can start moving with you and take advantage of this place where you are broken or where you are breaking, and use that as a way to fill your being with some new, brand new and improved essence that comes to you in the universe and makes you actually more substantive, so that you are more real and less likely to live out of some fabricated self that we call the ego, which is just a concoction of attitudes and beliefs and projections of the mind that we create as essentially a defense mechanism to keep us alive and from being damaged and achieve our desires, and maybe at a deeper level of hopefully getting into the flow.
Well, it's interesting, as we have aged, I mean, thing is, we're like not in our 20s or 30s anymore. And there's this, you look back and you realize how many things you've survived that in the moment seemed like catastrophes that you could never live through. You'll never make it. Oh my God, I want to die. This is too much. It's too much to ask of a person or something like that. And then on this side of it, you realize you did live through that, you know, and something, as you said, this crack, I saw the, you know, like if there's a crack, the water will immediately fill it. It's not an empty thing. And so all our pain and struggle is filled with something. And of course, I don't know if there's more or not. I'd like to think there is, and that's the part I like, that I'd like to think there is, since I won't know till I know. And if I don't know, then it won't matter either.
I like you use the word crack, and I immediately went to crack up, which we love to be able to do, is get each other to crack up.
We
you
do
know,
do that,
as opposed to getting each other to crack down. I don't know, it sounds like word, crack down. You know, I'd rather crack up. It's all the same to you.
It is funny that we use that when we start laughing really a lot. He's just cracked up.
Cracked up.
Because it's a funny image, isn't it? I wonder where that came from. Because it's such a wonderful experience to encounter something that tickles us so much
and
that we crack up.
That you crack up, yeah. And I love cracking up, and I think it's
because you cracked up.
And, you know, to be able to laugh. Oh, let's crack up a little bit now.
Please don't get hysterical. It's terribly American and rather fun.
So we hope you got cracking up from that little segment from Wellville, which is a movie well worth seeing if you want to just see a different perspective. It takes place at the time when Kellogg, it was inventing Kellogg's Corn Flakes, and we meet Kellogg, played by Anthony Hopkins, and John Cusack was in it, and some other. It's a wonderful story.
Yes, it is. It's a wonderful story.
It's so bizarre.
I mean, Matthew Broderick was in it, too.
Yeah, he was in it. It's just such a lovely, bizarre kind of
Richard
thing.
Fonda.
Yeah.
So it is.
There's the flow, and there's the so. Go with the flow.
What I love about the very word, the flow, is it talks about movement. It's movement. And if nothing else, we know that this planet that we are on is constantly in motion, like you said before. And we are moving with it. Every cell in our body is in movement. All the energy that we are, this body of energy, is constantly moving. And that is a flow. That which moves flows. And so we are, despite all the sentimental, and I'm not using that word in a pejorative way. I'm just saying that we see things through our heartfeltness, because that's who we are at this point in time. This is our humanity. But when you don't, you realize that it's all flowing. It's all the debris that, isn't that word detritus?
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. means messy stuff.
Yeah, it also means cowboys who ride without a saddle.
Oh, Harold.
I have no idea.
I don't know where that came from. That was so weird. I have to figure that one out. I don't understand it.
How that came about. But what occurred to me when
you're in that water bottle.
What occurred to me when you were talking is, what is it that can always flow and no matter what's going on? And that's your love. So let your love flow.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines.
Let Your Love Flow, Actually, I think it was originally written by the Bellamy brothers. I almost played that version, but then I found this wonderful version by Joan Baez. And so that's the version I played, which reminds me of how much we enjoyed seeing Carole King the other night at the Tony Awards singing with the cast of the show that's about her. Talk about being in the flow when you have a show during your lifetime written about you. But I thought it was interesting that she said she couldn't attend the opening night because it was too painful to relive those early parts of her life.
Yeah.
Not having seen this show, I don't know what it is. But
I found it interesting is that she used the metaphor of a stream, mountain stream flowing, and we've used that metaphor almost all evening as water, as a very significant way to see the flow, to actually physically see it, and yet all the things that we don't see that are flowing, because all movement is flowing, and the air is flowing, and the air moving through the leaves that I'm looking at right now is a flow, and we flow from moment to moment, from night to day, from day to day, from month to month, from year to year. It's a flow. It's all a flow.
This is a piano piece by Yuruma, Y-I-R-U-M-A, called River Flows in You. Mm-hmm. And to bring it all back to the now, to be mindful that the river is flowing in us at this very moment. And we're all connected by that fluid motion. And we're going to talk more about motion and how to be part of that rich motion that underlies everything and supports everything into which we are inviting to go with the flow.
Absolutely, monsieur.
So we are Inside Out, The Naked Truth. I'm Errol Strider.
I'm Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And tonight I was Errol Alicia Strider for a brief moment.
Too brief.
And we're going to be back next Tuesday, the same time. We hope you'll join us, and we hope that this week is a really flowing week for you. And we'd love to hear from you. You can go to our website, thelaughingheart.org, thelaughingheart.org, or you can write me at estrider@gmail.com. And so with that, we're going to say goodnight. But remember, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.